And welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm Tracy Peterson, your host, and we are speaking with Tuolumne County Health Officer Dr. Bob Bernstein, and we have been talking about a really important conference that was held recently here in the county on opioid addiction. And I wanted to ask you about the fact that with this opioid crisis across the country, it seems to also follow that there is a lot of illicit drugs being used when opioids are not available to people. So what are we seeing in terms of that in our community?
Right, that's a really good question. So one of our speakers, the first keynote speaker, Dr. Amber Robinson from the Centers for Disease Control, provided us with a review of national data, which is unfortunately mimicked here in Tuolumne County. And the national data suggest or indicate that there have been what you might describe as three waves in the opioid epidemic, in which more than 350,000 people nationally have died from an opioid overdose since 1999. The first wave, with over 200,000 deaths, was mainly from prescription medications. And the second wave, with over 60,000 people who died since 2010, has seen enormous increase in the amount of heroin use. A lot of this, and the third wave is a lot of deaths now occurring from synthetic opioids, not including methadone, but synthetic opioids like oxycodone and hydrocodone, but also heroin. And what has been driving this in large part is the successes that have been realized in reducing new initiation of the use of opioids, in better prescribing practices by physicians, and what's happened as the prescription of opioids has decreased is that people who've been on opioids and have not been able to find a practitioner who, like Dr. Ralph Rutherford here in Tuolumne County, have been able to take them off opioids and put them on buprenorphine, for example, but not been able to find a physician of that caliber, and have gone to illicit drugs. So heroin is becoming a huge problem here as it is elsewhere. But no, I would encourage the public to not stigmatize people who are addicted to opioids and other drugs, but rather to understand that there are many reasons why they may have started to begin with, and that they need assistance. And that assistance is becoming more available here in Tuolumne County. And certainly the coalition following this conference is going to make many efforts. We're applying for a HRSA grant, HRSA, the Health Resources Administration, federal government, to strengthen our coalition. And we're hoping to get that kind of resource from the state as well.
And now, earlier we had talked about the Community Health Improvement Plan, and you said you wanted to come back to that. What other parts of that did you want to discuss?
Yeah, so what was found in the Community Health Needs Assessment were the three priorities I may have mentioned earlier. That is, the need to make sure that essential services were available and accessible to those in need. The second area is the opioid outbreak that we've talked about. And the third is healthy beginnings. So on the topic of access to care, we recognize that the general public of Tuolumne County, we have one hospital in the county, the Adventist Hospital, which is doing the best that it can to serve the needs of people here. I mentioned earlier that emergency room visits are unfortunately increasing too much there. And part of that is because people are not taking advantage of access to primary care. And the reason for that is that we're losing practitioners, and the availability and accessibility of primary care is not as strong as one might like to have in a country like the United States. Let me mention a couple of things about the healthy beginnings, the third area of priority that was identified. As you know, we're coming up to the beginning of the school year, And Tuolumne County has actually been doing pretty well in ensuring that children are fully immunized at the time that they enter school. This is tremendously important. Many of you will remember the big outbreak of measles that took place in one of the amusement parks. I'm not going to mention the name of it, some years ago. And the reason for that was because an individual appeared there as a tourist who was infected and came in contact with a large number of Californian children who unfortunately had not been immunized. So one of the great things about the internet is its accessibility, but one of the difficult things is that people don't always go to the Centers for Disease Control website or the National Institutes of Health website, and they'll make use of websites and commentaries that are on the internet that are full of misinformation and disinformation about the relative effectiveness and the safety of vaccinations. Immunizations are so important in our community, and we've been lucky to have very good rates in most of our schools. There are a couple of schools that are not doing as well as we'd like them to be doing. I'm hoping to get a chance to visit those schools and talk with parents and the school administration, which has been trying as hard as it can to make these changes. But honestly, frankly speaking, this is a problem of mis and disinformation. People are not paying attention to sources of information that are credible, accurate, verifiable, such as the Centers for Disease Control website.
And I was going to ask you about that because I wanted to know, has the rise in the internet and social media, you know, made it more difficult to get out accurate health information on a whole range of issues?
It's not making it more difficult to get accurate information out. The issue is more what people choose to pay attention to. And I was an employee of the Centers for Disease Control for many years, an employee of international agencies like WHO and UNICEF. Globally and in the United States, we have a big problem with mis and disinformation. And I just hope to encourage people to at least compare what they can find when they look on Instagram or whatever social media they look at, and compare what the verifiability of an individual's experience is against the data that's presented on large population studies by the Centers for Disease Control, the most credible public health agency in the world. I just would encourage people to try to find an alternate source of information.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it here. There has been a lot of good information regarding the opioid crisis going on, not only across the country, but right here in Tuolumne County. I thank you, Dr. Bernstein, for coming in and giving us the details.
My pleasure. Thanks again for the invitation.
And once again, he is the new Tuolumne County Health Officer, Dr. Bob Bernstein. We also wanted to give listeners a chance to see the different presentations that were offered at the opioid conference held in Tuolumne County. So we put up all five of the speakers' presentations. You can find them in a link up on mymotherlode.com. All you have to do is go to the homepage, click on multimedia, then tap on Motherlode Views, find the Dr. Bernstein posting, and when you get into that posting, you will find the links for that conference. And I'm Tracy Peterson, your host. We thank you for joining us for this weekend's edition of Motherlode Views and hope you will tune in again next weekend.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.